We should start.
What? Sure.
Okay.
Start what?
Yeah, let's see if we can get it going.
The battery's flat. No.
Well, there we go. There's a drop-in in the future.
Or a ringer.
Yeah, that would be Michael's ringer.
Oh, Michael's calling.
All right, let's get going here. Almost live from across the USA, this is Late Night Killer! Your hosts tonight are Joel, Barry, and Michael. Yeah, that virtual gooper guy again. Tonight, Apple. Michael rediscovers Doctor Who, and there's trouble at the mill. One of the grunts means going out, let's give him trouble. All that and more on Late Night Killer! And now, digitally gathering at the plush QRM studios in Southwest New Hampshire.
And for your guy,
here's Joel, Barry, and Michael! Welcome, everybody, to Late... Who talked over me?
Me.
Who talked over me? By the way, Mike... Oh, I'll wait. Let's get this started. Welcome, everybody, to Late Night QRM show number 158 from the Monadnock region, where the leaves are down, in the southwest corner of New Hampshire. I am Barry J.
And from the southeast corner of New Hampshire, where, well, there's no trees on the streetlights, this is Joel.
And from the eastern, northeastern suburbs of Copper Harbor, in the man cave, I'm Michael, the virtual Eeper.
Wait a minute, did I just say there's no trees on the streetlights or no leaves?
There's no trees. I understood.
I think I'm four or five beers into this and a glass of wine. Maybe I need to reevaluate my vocabulary.
I speak Joel fluently.
Well, so hopefully the seven listeners we have could translate. They should have the cipher by now.
So I did get the rest of the return trips out today.
Woo-hoo.
So every 3 hours there was something new on the feed.
Oh, okay. I only saw one come up, so I'll have to go and find the other ones.
And actually, at 7 o'clock, show 156 also went out. So
excuse me.
I've only got two shows in the can right now that I got to worry about. I've got the 157, which will go next. Well, actually, I got three things. I got 157. I got the missing 154. As soon as I find it, and I've got the Nearfest, the shortcast, the J and B shortcast. That has to come out. So I'm working it.
What?
The J&B shortcast.
J&B?
Yeah, Joel and Barry.
All right.
Shortcast.
For some reason, you said J&B, and I instantly went, I'd love to have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, PB&J.
I decided to call it the J&B, because, you know, I try to, so I can name the files. So mm-hmm. I can say J&B shortcast.
Oh, okay. See? Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
JB Scotch.
And I decided that, you know, well, I always put you first on this thing, and I didn't want to call it the BJ shortcast.
Good thought.
So it's going to be the JB shortcast. So,
gotcha.
Anyway, so it's been a rainy.
Wait a minute, Barry.
Yes?
I just heard an Ingress clink, clink in the background.
Not me.
My
phone is on mute.
I'm making sure they're not attacking Copper Harbor.
I thought I heard it.
Oh, did you get my email?
Not
first
time.
Of all, I haven't made it up yet. Ingress alert. I got an email notification that some frog was up on Brockway attacking and taking over that portal. I sent you a...
Yes, but I got it too late. That's okay. I'll go back. He's my new nemesis. We've been going back and forth in portals.
Okay, I've got it.
I'm bummed that he took Brockway, though.
Yeah. That's one of the keys I kept. I dumped most of the keys from the trip because it's like... I was running out of inventory space because I had like 400 keys. So I started dumping ones I don't use anymore. So anyway, okay, enough with Ingress right now. So today was the infamous Keen Pumpkin Festival. And I think as I posted in on our G Plus community, let me oh, geez. Are you there? Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay. I was trying to lower the hangout, and the thing went away. So I was like, oh, no. Did it disconnect? Come on. Go down. Okay. Thank you. So,
scrolling.
Oh, God. This is dog slow. So I said... once I can slow down, I said, yes, the Keen Pumpkin Festival.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't heard of it, it's the festival where a few thousand out-of-towners come for a visit to cram the streets, look at pumpkins, get drunk, and pee in the front lawns of residences.
Well, fantastic then.
Because, from what I understand... most local people don't go to it because it's thousands of out-of-towners. And Emery and I went one year, and that was the last year we went on a Saturday because it was so crowded, you were pushing and shoving through the crowd just to get anywhere. And to me, that's not a fun time. You know, it's just not fun, just pushing and shoving through thousands and thousands of people. You can't even get to the little booths and stuff on the side of the streets because there's too many people. And
definitely sounds not like a fun time.
I mean,
if you're worried about getting all but trampled.
Right. So then we started going because we heard from a couple of the locals, oh, what you want to do is you want to go Friday night. That's when all the locals go when they're setting up because they used to light the pumpkins on Friday night also. And you could go, and only the locals would be there. It was a very much smaller crowd. So we started doing that. We'd go out to dinner, have dinner in Keene, and then go see the pumpkins. And it was nice, and just avoid the whole Saturday thing.
Uh-huh.
So, but the breaking news here was that
breaking news coming in by Barry.
During the, I think I have something for that. Let me see. Hang on. There we go. Late Night QRM News! Now reporting from the QRM News Desk, here's Barry J. Good evening, and in the news tonight at Keene, during the Pumpkin Festival, a riot broke out at Keene State University. Yes, a riot broke out at Keene State University, and it's the top story here. It said that they claim that it's about 3 or 4 blocks away from the actual Pumpkin Festival. But anybody that's been to Keene knows, yeah, it's a couple blocks away, but it's there. And it probably the reason for it is because many Keene State students have visitors come up for the Pumpkin Festival and things get rowdy. And in this particular case, a fight broke out and then people started tossing bottles into large crowds.
No.
So they had the riot police out there. They had... police from all the local towns and surrounding towns out there. They got fire and rescue from everywhere.
So that meant there was 4 cops.
No, there was
And a state trooper.
Apparently, people were injured, and they're still out there because, well, now, this happened in the middle of the afternoon. So now it's getting dark. So
that's when the evil comes in.
They use tear gas and pepper spray.
What constitutes a riot? More than three people?
No, apparently there's, from what they said, now this was Channel 9, apparently about 100 people were in a fight. And then, not including the surrounding crowds around it.
Who, so that means 26.
I don't know, I wasn't there. I'm just reporting what I heard on the news. And we all know how local news is. How we know how any kind of news is. You know, it's about, you know, an event occurred and it's about 10% truth in it.
Yes.
So, you know, you take what you take it or leave it, you know. You
get it with a grain of salt.
You get more facts and information on YouTube from amateurs taking videos than you will from actually listening. I'm surprised Channel 9 even went out there. You know, it's on the west side of the state. They don't like to come to the west side of the state.
As a rule, no. But there's only, if you think about it, there's only three cities in the entire state. So where the hell else are they going
to
go?
Oh, they stay in Manchester, and they'll wander down to Nashua.
Manchester, Nashua, Concord, and Keene. Those are the four friggin' cities in the whole damn state.
Right, and then they like to have their little news bureau up in the Lakes region, on Lake Winnipesaukee. They have that. Of course, you know, that's a happening place, and things happen there all the time.
It's where their vacation homes are, so they justify going there by saying, we're doing a news story on Winnipesaukee.
Yeah, but they never come out. They never come out to the west side. I'm surprised. I was actually surprised that they had live coverage at Keene. And I bet you they whined about having to drive all the way out there.
Oh, I guarantee you there's some whiny bitches in a van somewhere going, Jesus Christ, we have to go 100 and some odd miles out of our way for our couple of college kids drinking beer.
The station's in Manchester. It's actually, I think, closer to go to Keene than it is to go up to the Lakes region. They don't like to come to the western part of the state.
Well,
that's all right, because Channel 50 is going to come in there with their news. And as Scott was telling us, and I actually watched the news the other night, their news. I tuned it in, and it wasn't bad. Of course, if you go to the website, it's kind of weird because all they do is promote their weather guy, Al Caprillion, who's been there forever. And, well, he's an odd fellow. That's why he's so popular in New Hampshire. And I'm looking for the news, and they said they've got news, but they didn't say anything about their anchors or the reporters or anything. It's just, there's a newscast. I don't know. It's kind of strange, but I'm sure it's in the works. That's what's going on. They'll probably update that. Maybe they just got the newscasters. Because according to Scott, you know, that thing just started. And they weren't doing news before that. So, so we'll see. We'll see. I'm looking forward to having another station in New Hampshire actually do news.
Well, it'd be a nice change up.
Yeah. It might convince Channel 9, who's, you know, the number one news source in New Hampshire, because we're the only news source in New Hampshire.
Yes, yes.
Maybe it'll make them work a little harder now. So,
hey, quick question. Did you see they were Channel 50 or Channel 38?
Channel 50. Because Channel 38 is actually, I think, owned or... Who are they tied with? Aren't they tied with Channel 9? Doesn't Channel 9 do the news on Channel 38?
Good question. So we're talking KASY, Channel 50.
No. Well, it's not that anymore. It's now WBIN.
All right.
Yeah, it's the ones. Well,
I know what you're going to say, so don't bother saying that. But what I'm saying is, I couldn't figure out their call letters.
Oh yeah, it's now WBIN. I forget what these. It used to be WNDS or something like that.
That's right. Because I'm looking for the website right now.
Yeah.
Because I didn't realize that I could watch the news.
Yeah. WBIN is the so I'm looking forward to something new because. It would be nice to have another station doing New Hampshire news.
Okay. Well, I see here it's on their website. It's WBIN 18, Boston, Manchester.
Well, that's because they still call it Channel 50, but you know, with all the new, when we went digital, they're probably on 18, and they also list all the ones for like DirecTV, Dish, Comcast, and
gotcha,
whatever channels are on there. So, yeah, I don't know. It used to be Channel 50. How's that?
that's what threw me in my internet search. I'm like, I put in my TV 50, and it came up with everything else but.
Oh, it's not my TV. I don't think they're my TV.
Well, yeah, actually, are they? WBIN.
If you type in WBIN, you'll get it.
I got it. I'm on their website now. It's WBINTV.com.
Okay. They may be my TV. I'm not sure. I thought 38 was my TV.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, who knows.
All who knows?
We used to call those the UHF channels when I was.
Yes.
Because you would have found them all on UHF.
Now I see. It's DirecTV 50. So only that channel number only applies if you're looking at it on DirecTV.
Well, and
it's right on their website.
Right. But under the old analog system, they used to be Channel 50. Just like Channel 9 isn't Channel 9 anymore. It's they still say it's Channel 9, but they're on different channels now.
I'm looking at it now. Comcast is Channel 18, HD is Channel 811, Metrocast is Channel 17, DirecTV is 50, and Dish Network is also Channel 50.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, the TV stations during the analog years got... Yeah, everybody knew them by their channel, so they didn't really want to give up those channels when they switched over to the new frequencies and digital broadcasting. So they still kind of hang on to them. So anyway, that's the news here. And when we're done the podcast here, I'll have to check and see whether Keem is still there. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, mass rioting has occurred and the town is up in flames and people are chucking pumpkins everywhere. And it's kind of funny when you think about Keene. So, anyway. So, other news. I'm just looking at Michael's comment at the bottom. The other news that happened this week was Apple announced a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
On Thursday. Yeah, it was a big yawn fest. Matter of fact, I'm
a fanboy, and it's like, oh, what a disappointment.
Well, yeah, and the only thing I was looking for was when they were going to release Yosemite. And if you know, the past couple of years, this October one, they usually release it the day of the announcement, and that's what they did. It was available Thursday night, and. So that was one thing. And then they announced new iPads, which, yawn. I think they put faster processors in, made them thinner. So now, you know, now people are going to be bitching because the iPads are bending. Because if they make them any thinner, you know, it's like nobody cares that they're that thin. Nobody cares. Why do you think people care that they're that thin? Just because you can do it doesn't mean you should. Right. And I'm not talking just to Apple. I'm talking to all of them because, you know, all the gadget manufacturers are trying to make them thinner, thinner, thinner. Don't do that. You drop it from a height of 2 feet and they break or they bend. Give it some guts. Put batteries in there. If you're making the processor boards, the motherboards smaller, or the logic boards, I think that's what Apple calls them, smaller... Yeah. Well, then put more battery in there, because we all want the thing to last 3 or 4 days without it on one charge. Do that.
No. No. That ruins our "we can get it smaller" whole marketing gimmick.
Yeah, I know, but nobody cares. Everybody puts a fat freaking case around it because, hey, you're worried it's going to crumble in your hands, not just fold. It's, you know, you're gonna hold it and squeeze it with 2 fingers, and the thing's gonna fall.
It's as flimsy as the old balsa wood planes that used to slide together with a rubber band when we were a kid. I mean, that's how thin it is. You're thinking, okay, this thing is $500 and it's thin enough that if I looked at it hard enough, it would bend.
Right. So other things that they announced, there's a new iMac with a 27-inch 5K screen.
Who cares?
Well, actually, that's a pretty nice machine, and I don't know whether anybody else has that kind of resolution on their screens.
Yeah, but who cares? I mean, really. I mean, I have a 55-inch monitor on one right now, so. It's called Samsung. Right out of the computer, right into the TV.
Yeah.
I'm a middle-aged guy whose vision is deteriorating as each year goes by. Yeah. So I can't see the high resolution blah 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 bullshit anyway.
Now the bad thing, see, there was good news and there was bad news. I read an article that said the good news was, you know, this 5K, and especially if you're into video production and stuff like that, it's really good. The bad news is you can no longer use the iMac, the new iMac, as a standalone monitor for another system. I don't know whether that's a software thing or what, but in all the other iMacs, you could use it as a monitor for other systems. Mm-hmm. Now, the good news is they've announced upgrades to the Mac Mini, which hasn't occurred in 2 years, and, you know, faster processor, and they lowered the price, and I found out why they lowered the price by $100. The good news was new Mac Minis. The bad news was...
You made of balsa wood.
No. The RAM is soldered into the Mac Mini. You can no longer swap
screw
out.
Screw that. What a piece of shit idea that was.
Well, that's what they did with the MacBook Pros. So the Mac Minis are now like the MacBook Pros. They're SSD drives, so they'll be lightning fast. But you got to buy it. You got to buy it with how much memory you want in it, because RAM in it that you want, because you can't upgrade it. So, but they dropped the price on by $100. That was a little disappointing to me.
Let me put it to you this way: as a person who builds circuit boards for a living 5 days a week, a million weeks a year, it's cheaper to solder the connector onto the board that accepts you to slide the RAM chip in than it is to solder it, to reflow it on the board itself. Now, it's a slight embellishment. It's not actually cheaper. It probably the price point's about a break even. The reason they're doing it, and this is just a theory. I might be full of shit. I'm usually full of shit, but this is just my theory. Like you said, they make you commit to buy a certain memory set point.
Right.
And that's all you're going to get. So you, as operating systems get better and, you know, update, rather than you going to OWC.com and buying some more RAM, rip the cover off and slam in some new RAM, and it'll more than handle, you know, 10, 12 years worth of upgrades, you have to go out and buy a whole new set of hardware.
Yep.
I guarantee it.
Although, at the price point of a Mac Mini, that's not that bad.
Well, Mac Minis are what, $600?
I think the lowest one's now $4-something. So, that would be probably the lowest. I don't know. I haven't gone online to see. I missed. You know, I heard about it. I didn't watch the announcement. So I have to go on Apple and find out what it is. Because actually, I may be in the market for, and I was looking at Mac Mini to replace my HP here. And so I'm thinking, you know, when I first heard it, I said, oh man. But then I said, you know, if I'm buying a new computer, I'm going to max it out anyway, because that's what I do. I always max it out. And usually the max out means even if you could put replaceable memory in there, the system that's in that system, you can't put in, it can't handle any more memory. So
until it's been out for a year and they realize it can.
No, it's a hardware issue. I believe.
Well, I got a Mac Mini right here, case in point, that you and I put the RAM in, that by all accounts, Apple says absolutely, positively, under no circumstances can this thing handle any more than 6 gigs of RAM. Right now it's got 10. And OWC was the ones who said, yeah, you can put 10 in and it's completely stable. Apple, absolutely not. And once it's been out for a while, sure you can.
Well, I don't know many of the systems. Well, maybe they could, but you know, they're pretty much maxed out at 16 gigs of RAM right now for the Apple systems. I don't know whether it can handle more unless you go out and get a Mac Pro.
I think I just told a big fat lie.
What?
No, I'm right. Okay, never mind. I'm accurate. Cool.
Okay. So, my MacBook Pro, I know why they did the MacBook Pros. I mean, they did it because they wanted to make them thinner and lighter. And they don't really want people getting into the machines because then they, you know, uneducated people will go into the machines and then take it to Mac and, or take it to Apple and say, it doesn't work and it's your fault. And then they got to deal with that. So, you know, if they can seal these puppies up, they'll do it. That way, if something goes wrong, then they know, then chances are it wasn't, you know, the user that actually did it. So, I don't know. I'm, you know, what can I say? The main reason I'm with Apple is because I like the operating system. So, I don't want a Windows operating system. And with the audio stuff, I'm sorry, but the stuff I use doesn't run on Linux. So I've got a choice, Windows or, you know, OS X, and I prefer OS X over Windows. So,
speaking of which.
Yes?
With OS X.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something you want to tell us?
Well, I do. I did. Yosemite came out.
Woo, Velociraptor.
I upgraded the. I forgot about that.
I didn't. That's what I call it.
Or as I was calling it, Yosemite.
Oh.
It came out, so I upgraded the MVP on Thursday night. It did take a little bit of time because it was a 5.5 and some change gigabyte download. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm still having some bandwidth issues. So that, I'm sure, helped. Plus, I was probably downloading it at the same time as several million other people.
Yep.
And so it took a couple hours to get the... It actually took about 3 hours to get the thing downloaded. The install didn't take as long as Mavericks did. When you actually had it downloaded and it opened it up, it was actually pretty quick and bringing it up. And I got to say that overall performance, I'm liking it. My machine seems a little snappier. I like some of the new features. What the hell is it called? I knew I was going to forget the frickin' name. Hang on. AirDrop. AirDrop finally works. Well, so I can now, and this will be good for boss jock people, because you can actually save your file and then you can AirDrop it to your Mac if you're an Apple person.
That would be cool.
And it goes fast because it's like it goes bloop, and it's downloaded.
Is that the actual noise that it makes too?
Yeah, it goes bloop. Actually, it does. When it's done on the MacBook Pro, when it's done, it goes whoop. And so I like that. And of course, you can use that for sharing with other people because it works with you can set it up so that anybody that's in your area, like that's in the Bluetooth or Wi-Fi area of you, you can ship different files, pictures, recordings, whatever, to that person, and they can accept it. So it's pretty neat. The only negative thing, Spotlight is pretty nice now. They've changed that a little bit. They've put more what do I want to call it, options on the top of Finder, which I like. And what else? Oh, the only thing I don't like, and I'm sorry, Mr. Ives, but I don't like the flat look. It's okay on the iOS stuff, but I got a MacBook Pro. It's got 16 gigs of RAM. It's got 500 gigs of an SSD. It's got a super quad-core processor in it. It can handle rendering 3D effects.
My question, and it's totally to your point, they spent so much time and money and research and marketing and development of putting Retina display on as many possible devices as possible. You know, and every time they can upgrade the Retina display or the next greatest display that, you know, I'm waiting for the one that beams it straight to your brain so you can just cut your eyes, the middleman, right out. And then they change their GUI and make it flat rather than 3D rendered.
I don't.
What the hell kind of sense does that make? It's like, we're going to make the picture so sharp it'll blow your mind and then flatten out all the images so they're dull as dishwater.
I don't get it. And like I said, I can understand it on the smaller devices, even though they're getting faster and faster. Less CPU cycles to render the pictures, you know, because they're not 3D and it doesn't take extra
power. Still,
but on a MacBook Pro or, you know, a Mac Pro or even an iMac, why? I miss my little LED lights, you know, the close, open, and up and down buttons. I liked them when they looked like little LED lights. Now they're just flat circles, yellow, yellow and green, you know.
I haven't updated the Mac Mini here to Velociraptor yet, but I did update my MacBook to Velociraptor, and I'll be honest with you. I mean, I'm like, eh.
Yeah, the look is eh. I will say I like the fact that they changed the background color to iTunes to red because, frankly, it looked like too many of the other icons, and now, you know, I can go down and quickly find iTunes. Before, I used to kind of have to search for it in my thing. I do like some of the icons that they came up with. But, you know, they'd look a lot better if they were 3D or had a shadow behind them or something. I like the old tray where it actually looked like a tray and the thing sat on the tray.
Now yep, like I'm looking at right now.
Yeah, now it's just a bar across it with the icons on top of the bar.
And sometimes change is not good.
It's boring. It really is. It's
boring as shit.
Yeah.
It's George Orwell's 1984. Get people excited about the bland.
Yeah, so I'm not now, I gotta say, and we started talking about this when we were talking about Chrome and stuff like that, Safari seems like really lightning fast, this version of Safari. It's like I switched it back to my default right now, and it is lightning fast. It seems to work very well. However, it did crash on me this afternoon once. But it is brand new, so, and I'm sure this is, you know, Yosemite.0, so I'm sure once the multitude of people have been using this and start reporting stuff in and all the crash reports come in, there will probably be a .01 release shortly.
Next 3 days.
Yeah. Or so, because that's what they tend to do. But yes, I'm pretty impressed by Safari's so far, and it doesn't seem to be a memory hog. So I like that. I'll get used to the blue folders. I liked the older folders better. The blue is kind of bright.
Okay.
Yeah, and so far all my software seems to be working fine under Yosemite. So, So that's my review of Yosemite.
Velociraptor.
Your review of Yo. Have you gotten Yo yet? in my case.
No,
I haven't gotten Yo because I got burned on iOS 8. I'll wait for 0.01 or 0.01A.
smart man.
I'm not sounding like an Apple fanboy right now, am I? I am, really. But I'm a fan of what's working, and I'm keeping it.
Yes, yes.
Well, that was the other announcement. iOS 8.1 is coming out on Monday, and that's the one that has Apple Pay in it. And also some upgrades to the whole health thing.
Who the hell cares? How about something that doesn't suck my battery dead in half an hour?
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you're seeing that because my phone lasts.
Yours is a 6 Plus.
Well, I'm telling you, it's lasting forever. it's the best I've ever owned.
Realistically, I was online today, as a matter of fact, on Waze and shit to shut off. To try and get the battery to last because of iOS 8. And if you go on YouTube and put in iOS 8 killed my 4S, you're going to find a litany of freaking videos of people who put stuff on there about how it and performance and how to try and make it as tolerable as possible. And the same for the 5S.
Well,
so I'm not the only one.
Well, I've got it on my 5 too, and my 5 seems to be working fine. Of course, I got a brand new battery in it.
It is affecting my 5S battery life.
Is it?
Pretty notably, yeah.
I haven't seen that.
Not as bad as Joel, but I've seen it on the 5S.
Well, I actually went into some submenus that shame on me for not, because I'm usually one of these people who will keep digging and pressing in buttons and going into menu after submenu after submenu on pretty much everything I own. And I haven't done that on the 4S, and I've had it for a year. A little over a year,
mm-hmm.
And realistically, I found a bunch of things that I was able to shut off that helped that iOS 8 turns on in the background. That helped. It's helped considerably. So we'll see how it plays out. But I mean, I spent a good hour and a half watching, instructional video. What to shut off, when to shut it off, yada, 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 the benefits, the pros versus the cons kind of thing, just to try and get some battery life back out of the thing. Because I was at the point now where, here's your work phone, take it, fine, I'll take it. But the one that I go out and buy personally was so much so leaning towards an Android.
Well, I'll tell you, Android has just as many battery problems. So yeah,
No. We're not talking battery problems. We're talking this was something that they knew worked, came out with some fancy fucking code and killed it. That pisses me off.
Well, they all do that. I'm telling you, they all do that. You're at the tail end. Next iOS upgrade is not 5S, 4S is not going to be supported.
Good, absolutely good. Because I would not want to even venture down this road again. Yeah. I would not. I would shit can all my Apple crap and go right back to buying Windows.
Ugh,
and Android.
Android does the same thing. Android does the same thing. And what's worse with Android, and this you get Nexus stuff, which is the true Google experience, mm-hmm. There's a good chance you're not going to get an upgrade because it's up to the carriers to decide whether they want you to have it or not.
Right. So then you buy Nexus stuff. Problem solved.
Yes, but Nexus does drop off their old stuff, just like, you know, if you buy a product that is barely supported now, it's gonna, you know, you're not gonna get much life out of it unless you stick with the operating system and don't upgrade, because they all do that. They're in it for money, you know. They want to sell devices, and that's what they do. So,
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way.
Well, I mean, that's just common sense. If you buy what's almost out of date, after some point in time, they're going to stop supporting it. That makes sense.
Right.
What I'm saying is that you never had to worry about that with Apple. With Apple, you just got to the point where it's like, okay, we're not going to support this anymore. And you're like, okay. And what was on here worked awesome still. You're like, you know what? It's not so bad. I'm running the old operating system, but you know what? This thing works. You know, lickety split. Johnny makes me happy.
Okay, but if you would have stuck with iOS 7, you'd be fine right now. So you know,
you would have, could have, should have, but trust me, this one's better.
Well, they all do that.
This one's better. They all do that. You need to upgrade. This is better. Really? Okay, I'll trust you.
I got a Mac Mini here that's stuck on, what is it, Snow Leopard? Snow Lion? I think I'm on
Snow Leopard.
Mountain Lion. Mountain Lion.
Mountain Lion's even better.
Yeah, I'm stuck on Mountain Lion because that's the last thing I could do.
Fucking rock solid stable OS.
Yeah, until they stop supporting it. Which they're still supporting it right now. But soon they will stop because it's old. That's the way it is. That's the way it is in software too. Yeah, we're at work. We got to upgrade our Red Hat because they're not going to be supporting the current version we're using. And so we got to go through all the heartache of upgrading Red Hat to Linux at work, and believe me, it's going to be a major pain in the ass. But c'est la vie.
When I look at it, when they say at work, we need to upgrade. Okay, I'm getting paid to put in the new one, and you're paying for the new software. That's a lot more palatable than money out of my pocket and my time. You know what I'm saying?
So, well, I understand, but again, you know, if you buy something that's a couple years old, then
the company bought it. Thank you very much.
You know, if the company bought it and it's a couple years old, then
you're stuck with what you're stuck with. Yeah. I know. I know. I'm allowed to bitch when I want to bitch.
Okay.
And that's just a simple fact that they came out with them software, and I'm still fucking pissed off.
Well, that's why I upgrade my phone every 2 years when I can.
Right.
Because I don't have issues. As many issues. Of course, then the other problem is you're on the bleeding edge, and sometimes the new stuff doesn't quite work, and they've got to fix it, but at least they usually get around to fixing it, and the phone starts working eventually, or your device starts working. But yep, that's you know, they're out to sell devices.
I miss my old flip phone. I miss my flip phone.
That flip phone wouldn't work anymore because, you know, all the towers have been upgraded.
It would run 3G. You can make a 3G? Phone call and send a text and receive a text.
Okay.
I miss my old flip phone. You know what? It was simpler. Simpler sometimes is better.
Well, it's probably wrapped in a plastic bag in your drawer.
I chucked it. I went and I chucked it in the recycle bin at work. I mean, hell, I even miss my old BlackBerry in some ways.
Oh, please. You had to reboot that puppy every 5 minutes.
I know. I just was seeing who was paying attention.
Yeah, it wasn't even that. Reboot. That, you had to remove the battery and put it back in, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, battery pull.
Yeah.
And that was tough. You got real good at doing a battery pull while driving.
Oh, wow. So, Michael, what do you think so far? What have you upgraded to, and what are you using?
I'm still using Mavericks for OS.
Okay.
I'm running 8.02 on my phone. It is locking up like every 3 days.
Yep.
Huh. I mean, locking up. But normally it locks up in settings.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
To the point where I can't make a phone call, can't do anything. I have to do a reboot.
Yeah.
It stops being a phone.
Yeah.
I haven't had a single lockup. But then again, I got the new phone, so.
And you know, it is a 5S with 32 gig. It's not it's not a minimal old phone either, but it's definitely got issues.
The only thing that I've had issues with on the phone is every once in a while one of the apps will crap out on me, which is this is rare. But, you know, it'll crap out and I'll have to restart it and it's okay. And then usually within a day of that happening or something, guess what pops up? Oh, an update for that particular app. So,
yeah, it has been getting better as the apps have been getting updated. But in particular, the one thing I've been having problems with is if I have the phone in hotspot mode, that's where it tends to really lock up.
Oh, really? Wow. Huh. Because I've had mine in hotspot mode, and Yeah, it's never locked up on me. Well, then again, I got the new hardware, so.
I was going to say.
Yeah, let's say you get new Wi-Fi hardware.
No, I'm not sorry, Michael. I didn't mean to step on you, but everything that I said, you said, yeah, but. And everything Michael said, you've answered with, yeah, but. It's because you've got the newest phone. That's why.
Uh-huh. It just works with the new phone.
My new car just runs better than your 94 Oldsmobile. I don't know why.
Well, just got to upgrade.
Sorry, Michael. I had to.
No. And, you know, and again, because of that, I'm a little gun shy of going to Yo. So
I don't like that.
Yo.
I've got two MacBooks. I suppose I could go Yo. Mm-hmm. I could go Yo on the 13-inch, mm-hmm. the same one that I've got the Windows 10 loaded on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think with Yosemite anyway, they had a public beta on it this time. More public beta than they usually do.
Numerous public betas.
So I think
they had numerous Gold Masters.
Yes, but I think
multiple.
I think they got it out to more people, which is the good thing. The problem with the iOS devices and stuff like that is they keep that so secretive, and they'll let developers play with it. I don't think that they let developers load. Yeah, they do let developers load it on their phones and stuff, but it's such a small group that you don't see the real problems until they get the massive
hordes. Yeah, they do. The developers don't hold it wrong.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. The developers, kind of some of those things you as a developer, you learn not to do that average people will do. So, it's, I don't know. Like I said, so far.
We have a massive delay here, by the way.
Oh, do we? Okay, well.
Yeah, I mean, I hear myself about 10 seconds later after I say it.
Wow, okay. And I did a pregnant pause there, so it wasn't a delay. So, all right. What else do we got? Since you guys are no longer Apple fanboys, we'll get away from that.
I knew it was.
I didn't say that.
Good luck. Good luck with.
I still like the equipment. I just wish. Huh?
Good luck with Android. That's all I can say. Well, the new Lollipop's coming out. That was another announcement this week. Lollipop's coming out. I'm waiting for whenever they're going to release it because they didn't give a release date for it yet. Although the new Nexus. Machines are all going to come with it installed, so I'm assuming that the old Nexus will it'll be available for download here soon. So I'm waiting to see if it comes up on my Nexus 7. Supposedly they've done a bunch of cool things with it. We'll see. So I'm just waiting. They just didn't announce a date.
Very cool. We'll see. I mean, realistically. I have a tough time with you know operating systems named after candy. It's hard to take them serious.
Well, yeah, I like national parks better. the way they come up with names,
man. Velociraptor.
Yeah, I think they should just use the numbers. Numbers are good, easy to remember. What am I on? I've got iOS 8. What's the next one I'm going to be? iOS 9. Okay, I can deal with that.
Yeah. iOS gym sock. iOS sneaker. iOS mittens.
And there was actually, I heard people talking, oh man, I'm because before it was called Android L because nobody knew what the word was going to be, so they were just calling it L. Hell, that was even better. Then people were complaining. Oh, Lollipop! Why'd they pick Lollipop? I was hoping for licorice, or I was hoping for what was the other? Lemon drop. And I'm like, really? You guys are arguing over the frickin' name?
The internet just breeds. People grow massively huge balls and even bigger opinions over the internet. You know, we all know that story.
Yeah.
It's, I'm going to give my 2 cents. It's the whole Facebook phenomenon. Everybody's got an opinion, and they're all fucking right. And right up until the point when you say, you know what, I'd like to see you present your argument sitting at a round table face to face. And you know what? They wouldn't say shit if they had a mouthful because they have no balls in real life. But over the internet, on the other side of the monitor, ho, 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 you watch out, buddy boy.
I'm just like,
I'll give you my 2 cents.
What's wrong with like Android? I don't even know what number it is because, you know, but what's wrong with like Android 5? You know, or, that's me. I like numbers. What can I tell you? So, I'm looking down here now. We talked about that. We'll get the last tech thing. Joel downloaded SwiftKey.
Yeah, yeah. Today, while running through videos and reading through blogs on how to conserve some battery life with my upgrade, and I came across an article where folks were talking about SwiftKey, you know, changing some of the keyboards on the phone. So then I dug into it a little bit deeper, and I thought, hey, let me give it a try, see if I like it, and see I like the way it looks. And it's a predictive speller.
Yep.
So you know it'll learn the words you use a lot, and they'll give you those options where you're headed. So I downloaded and given it a whirl. Still on the fence. Not exactly sure if I like it or not. Keys actually seem a little bit smaller than the standard iPhone QWERTY keyboard.
I didn't notice that because I downloaded it last week too. But I started using it on the Nexus 7. And I liked it on the Nexus 7, so when they said it was available for for iOS now, I downloaded it, and so I'm the same way as you. There's a lot of people that love the swipe capability. I need to practice, I guess. I can't get that right.
Well, here's one of the things that I don't like about SwiftKey, and it's there's a banner at the very top of the keyboard that says allow full access to get word predictions. Mm-hmm. Now, if you allow full access to the keyboard, what that basically can do is that the writers of the software, anytime that keyboard's used, it transmits to them as well from the performance of the keyboard. Well, these are complete and total utter strangers. If I'm sending a text from A to B, not that they can't be plucked out of the air already, but I'm certainly not going to grant permission.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah? Mark's done with work, so I'm going to go pick him up. I'll be right back.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, nope. So I did not allow and grant full access because I'm like some complete stranger's not seeing them text to my wife saying, yes, I'll pick up cat food, milk, and coffee on the way home from work. I just don't feel like sharing that information with complete strangers.
Yeah.
But because I didn't, you don't get
you get the default predictive
spelling.
Yeah.
Right. So it might be the reason why I'm going to delete it.
Well, okay. I mean, because the predictive, the default Apple keyboard now has predictive built into it, too.
I've noticed that. But it likes to predict a word like I'm trying to spell. Barry J. Late Night QRM comes up with Discovery Rocket Lion toilet paper.
Well, it also it also has to it also has to learn from
come up
typing.
With some pretty inventive words when I'm starting to spell them.
I've been using both of them for quite some, especially SwiftKey, and I can start typing and. I don't even have to touch the keyboard. I can just hit the almost entirely hit the predictive words that they suggest because you got 3 suggestions and I can almost do complete sentences without even touching a letter,
right?
Because it's gotten to know me.
Now you did the allow full access thing for it.
I may have. I don't know because remember I already had an account with them from the Nexus 7.
Right.
So I'm thinking I'm jumping right into that, but I'll have to read up on that too. I don't know whether that goes back to SwiftKey or it goes to your iCloud. I don't know. Either way, it's somewhere else. But when I use these devices, I just pretend a million people have access to it too. So that's the way I treat it. And
well, this is what I'm reading it right now, which I found interesting. Third-party keyboards, which is what SwiftKey is.
Yeah.
Third-party keyboards provide an alternative way to input keyboard data. These keyboards can access all of the data you type, including bank account numbers and credit card numbers, street addresses, as well as other personal and sensitive information. These keyboards may also access nearby text and or data, which is useful for improving the autocorrect functionality. So, you use a third-party keyboard, they can, and you allow full access, they see everything.
Hmm.
Every time you touch a key, they see it.
Yeah.
So, I'm saying, it's bad enough I got to trust Apple, but now it's some third-party, you know, Qingxing China friggin' app writer that I have no interest in helping support or drain anybody's bank account. So, goodbye.
Yeah, I don't know who makes SwiftKey, but they've been around for a while.
They're not friends of mine.
Yeah. So... You can switch back and forth between the keyboards too by clicking the.
I just gotta figure out how to delete it.
Well, you just that's true. How do you delete that? I guess you can go up. There is an app.
Something I'm not seeing here.
It does dump an
app. There's
no
real app. Here it is. SwiftKey. Found it.
Yeah.
Yes, I found it. I did find it.
Yeah.
Yep, SwiftKey one. So, but I mean, realistically, it seemed pretty cool. You know, right up until when I saw that clause. Yeah. And I'm like, great, I couldn't find out about the clause until after I downloaded it. So, alrighty, fine, duped again. It's a gamble. Shit, man, I mean, well,
the reason they do it is, and yes, it still could somebody, yes, somebody could. The reason it's done across the network is because they need more powerful computing systems to process that stuff. So it's thin net. That's all right. These things are. We're back in the old days when they used to call it thin net, which meant, you know, you basically had a fairly mm-hmm. dumb terminal in front of you and all the processing happened across the network somewhere. But yes, with all the things that are going on now, yeah,
and just like that? It's gone.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Good point. I mean, it's all bleeps and blobs and little packets of data, easy enough to grab. Yeah. But it's. I mean, call it my.
Uh-oh. Are you there? You're dropping in and out on me, and it could be just.
Me. You know, I'd send them $5 or whatever to support. You know, them writing. It takes time to write code. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Boy, is there a delay?
Hello. Yeah. Toy boat.
Yes, but quite a big delay, you've been cutting out.
Anybody hear me?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me? You're probably listening to me now that I said it 15 okay. seconds ago.
Yes, I can hear you at 9:27. I heard the now probably about a second later.
Yeah, it's there's a wicked delay.
My Fairpoint internet's jamming at 6.10 MIPS.
Yeah, I'm probably doing less.
Down. 6.10 MIPS down. Then again, I think Debbie's watching Netflix too.
Yeah, you're breaking up a lot here, but like I said, it's probably me because we're still having issues. Let me do a speed check myself. Uh-oh, who was that?
There's two Michaels. Oh, one Michael just dumped out.
Oh, okay.
Michael. He's still signed into the Circle.
Okay.
Circle, the cloud, the whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah.
Why do I have two of them? I think it's Hangout, to be honest with you, because he's coming up two times on my screen.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm actually sitting out in front of the mirror waiting. Oh, there's a hiking there.
That's cool, so he's on it. I'm sorry, sir. He's on his iPhone. I didn't even think he could do
that. Yeah, that's what I was wondering, whether he was doing that or not. Okay, I'm doing a speed test right now. And...
Yep.
Hang on. There goes the ping. Mm-hmm. I got a 33 MIPS ping, or millisecond ping. Oh, it says I'm up 10, 11.
MIPS really? Download.
Yeah.
10 or 11 download. I pay for 16. I got 6.8.
Yeah, me too. Well, I pay for 15, and I'm getting 10. So,
hang on, Mark. I don't have noise.
So, And are you guys there? Okay.
Yeah.
I really think I'm having
Yeah, you know what? Did you see that thing about Fairpoint? I guess the network issues there, Barry?
No. Oh, boy, is there a delay.
Oh, yeah, they're on strike.
Oh, they are?
Wicked delay. Wicked delay at 9:29.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm wondering how long it is before you can. Yeah.
If Michael wasn't out on the road, I would say let's kill the hangout and try to restart it because, you know, Michael noticed it first and it's really, really bad. And
how bad is really bad?
Well, Joel, you're cutting out every once in a while. I'll get half your sentence.
All right. Well, if I say so, I'm going to hit the stopwatch on my iPhone and then say a word, and I want to see how long it takes for you to respond just to see what the delay is going to be.
Okay.
So let's see if we can start the test right now.
Now.
And I'm talking 1.5 seconds.
You know, it's suddenly cleared up. Now you seem to be much better and things.
They knew we were on to them.
Must be. I don't know. I mean, geez, we got enough bandwidth to handle simple audio.
Sweet. Yeah, well, you know what? The NSA stopped listening. Even they got bored. They're like, oh, Jesus, these guys aren't changing.
I never thought about that. You know, always
change the channel.
Yeah, we're always talking about our 2.3 listeners, but NSA, I forgot. You know, we probably have over 100,000 listeners.
Easy. And a half a dozen servers analyzing every word we say.
And they'll never know. We'll never know. They'll never report in that they're listening.
Yeah,
oh, man. I feel cheated. Listeners out there. Come on, some of you guys. Come on, just leave a comment.
Yeah, leave a comment on the page.
Who was
it that said that it's comments to podcasters? A comment on a podcaster's page is like food. It feeds them.
Yeah. Because I'm probably going to be called into security on Monday.
Yeah, probably so. I won't be surprised when I see the van parked out front of my house again. You know, like Shinosky Cable TV or something. And I'm like, it doesn't even exist, guys. Can't you pick a better name? And I've never seen a work truck in my life that A, has windows on the side, and B, has them all blacked out. Yeah, you know, I love that. When you see the all-black Suburban with the black steel wheels driving down the street with the reinforced suspension, and you go, no, that's not a federal vehicle. You can pick it out from a mile and a half away.
Mm-hmm.
It was funny. I was driving up. I was just driving home Friday. And I saw this tractor trailer, and it caught my eye.
Yeah.
One of my little observational things. When I'm driving up the road, up 495.
Yeah.
And I see this tractor trailer, and it's hauling a container, you know, like the ones that are on container ships.
Yeah.
And then they put them on the actual trailer. And I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah. You know, no big deal. And I'm looking at the trailer, and I'm looking at the container, and it's way too clean and way too functional. It's not rusty. It's not dented. The trailer is freshly painted. All the lights worked on it. And it was an extended container. I thought, extended containers? No, I worked in shipping and logistics for quite a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, that's interesting. And I'm cruising on by, and the truck is right immediately on my left. So I drive a little. I'm moving. He's in the I'm in the far right lane. I move up a little bit, and you look at the door. Now, by DOT... every commercial truck has to have a identifying, it's got a U.S. DOT number on the side of the door for our friends up in Canada. But then it also has to list the name of the carrier. And I believe even the letters have to be a minimum of 3/4 of an inch or an inch tall on the doors to identify who owns the truck.
Mm-hmm.
This one's all black. Got a little fancy flame job on it. And I'm like, no identifying numbers. No identifying name, hauling a white container. Everything is impeccably.
Joel? Joel? Hello, Joel? Joel?
I'm rolling, and I said, that son of a bitch.
Joel?
Calling something government.
Joel?
Yeah?
I got to tell you, as soon as you said Pickerman, lead, that's got to be, and you went blank. And you were out for about 5 seconds.
I can believe it. So, well, it's because I'm talking about the government truck hauling, you know, top secret black ops stuff in the back of it. Mm. So then I thought, it's just a speculative guess, and I thought, I'm probably wrong. No, I know I'm not, but let's just say I am. And then as I start to change highways, behind it, doing a revolving tail, is the black Suburbans. And I'm like, motherfucker, I hate it when I'm so right. And I'm like, there's the black Suburban surveillance truck. And I'm like, oh, my God. Hmm. It's like, could it be any more obvious? And I spotted it, you know, in seconds of just driving. I'm like, nope, it's too new.
Yep.
And it you know, it's in too good a shape.
Interesting.
Yeah, you know. Well, it's, you know, I didn't move things around the country under people, so you have to put it right underneath their nose.
Yep.
But you don't. You know,
Sorry. No, I'm not saying anything.
Right.
Okay.
But at the same time, too, it's just, you know, people are so, especially Americans, are so fucking oblivious.
Yeah. You have good observation skills. That's all I'm going to say.
I'm nosy like that.
Anyway, do we have anything else? We're waiting for
He's all nervous. Over. You can hear it in your voice.
What? No. Not me.
Hi, guys. I'll see you out front. I'll bring coffee.
Oh, damn. Oh, God. Yeah. Michael didn't put it down as a topic, so I guess we won't talk about it until he's ready to talk about it.
Okay. It's a smart one.
Yeah. Or you've just forgot. I don't know. But he's finally watching Doctor Who.
Yes, he is. And he's excited about it as well. He likes the new Doctor. I know he did say that.
Is he watching this season's Doctor? Is that where he started?
I want to say yes. I want to say not only is he watching this season's, he's also a fan of this new Doctor.
I am too. I like this new Doctor.
Yeah. I will say the last episode... You absolutely nailed it when you had said, you know how there's some episodes of Doctor Who that make you go, oh, that was okay. And then there are other ones that just blow you out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
Last week's was, it's okay.
I haven't seen it yet.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. But I'll watch it anyway because I like the new Doctor. And, there is somewhat of a continuing line through here. Eventually, we're going to get a new companion here. Mm-hmm. So, I'm watching to see when the new companion's going to show her face.
Well, you think it's going to be a her or him?
I don't know. How many male companions have there been? I mean, there was the one with...
Amy Pond.
Amy Pond, but she kind of dragged her boyfriend into it. So still, it started off as a female companion and...
Yeah, good point.
And then... Was there any others? I mean, I'm talking about even the old Doctors. I think they're. I don't know. You know who to ask? Your beautiful bride. She'll know.
Right off the top of her head, she will, too.
Yes, I know. She is such a diehard Doctor Who fan, and she grew up with it and everything. So, unfortunately, here in the United States, we didn't get to see Doctor Who until the, the Baker years.
Yep.
That was the first Doctor Who that came over to the United States, and there were years before that with other doctors, and I guess we can now see them, they didn't. Doctor Who didn't come around until like the late 70s, if I remember correctly, here in the States.
Anthony Marco had done
that was a good one. That was
the best episode ever, and it was exclusively Doctor Who. I really, really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I did too.
I don't know if Anthony has a chance to listen. He's got so much going on, but if he is, kudos, sir. That was an excellent episode.
That was great. I really enjoyed it. I mean, it was like, stop everything. I got to listen to this.
Yeah.
with great detail.
And he had a guest commentator on there as well, who, forgive me, I cannot remember the gentleman's name, but wow, was he a wealth of knowledge.
Yes.
On Doctor Who. He's a diehard Whovian.
Yes, he does a podcast. He's been doing a podcast for years on Doctor Who. So, yeah, that was, like I said, I've become a Doctor Who fan, and that was filling in a lot of holes, and it was good. It was a very good podcast. Episode mm-hmm. zero, I think it was, for the season of the episode, best episode ever, I think. Or something.
Yes, it was the best episode ever. Yeah.
But, yes, that was great. I loved that. And Anthony was a good interviewer. So, I mean, he asked good questions and it just went, the whole show, you know, it just flowed nicely. Yeah. It flew by.
Hey, there he is.
There he is. We were talking about Doctor Who.
Ah, ooh.
Before, you know, we were getting to your thing, but you weren't here, so we were...
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
No, I'm not. I had to go get my son. So.
Yeah. Yeah, he should have made me walk home. Yeah.
Yeah, he's in shorts, a t-shirt, it's 39 degrees out. Sure.
Yeah, well, you know, he's from Copper Harbor. That's what you wear when it's 39 degrees out.
Yep.
All right, so Michael, you're watching Doctor Who. Did you start with this season? Is that your starting point?
No, actually, because and I'm trying to remember the name of the actor, but I really haven't watched Doctor Who on a regular basis since when Tom Baker finished, and the guy who played Tristan from All Things Great and Small,
yes,
took over.
Right.
And then I got busy with life, and I've always been a fan since, but mm-hmm. I've just never had time. And I knew that once I went down that hole, I was never coming back. Well, I've taken the plunge. So I've been alternating. You know, I'm on Netflix. They've got the classic series.
Mm-hmm.
They go all the way back to the beginning. Well, as much as close to the beginning as you can get, anyhow. Yeah. And then I've been going back and forth between that and the newer series. So I've started back in, was it 2006, 2004 when this started now?
No, I forget what year it started. So you're at the...
But somewhere around there. Eccleston I've been going back to the very beginning and coming back up.
Are you in the Eccleston era with Rose?
I am now.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So I think that was the beginning of the new Doctor Who's. You know, it took a kind of a hiatus for a while, and then it came back.
Yep. And so Christopher Eccleston plays the Doctor, yeah. And then his companion is Rose Tyler. And then Billy Piper.
Billy Piper, that's the actor's right. name.
And then Christopher Eccleston was in for, I want to say, one season.
That's it. Yep.
That's why, because he's still pissed off about that, because he wanted to keep going with it. And instead, David Tennant was brought in as the Doctor, and who was a phenomenal. For me personally, not having the new Doctor truly get, you know, have as long a run. I love David Tennant as the Doctor.
I liked him too. I gotta say,
You know, it was well, and then his companions went from Donna Noble, who was played by an actress whose name I can't recall right now, but that was the character's name.
Yeah.
Then there was the Doctor. What was her name?
Well, Donna Noble, so other people may know her from, she had a stint on The Office.
Yes.
The American version of The Office. She used to be a stand-up comedian, I think, because I've seen her on a couple British shows where she was doing stand-up.
Yep.
Too, at one time. But
that rings a bell.
Yeah.
And I think she sings, if I remember right, because a recent episode of Coverville actually refers to her and refers to her Office and Doctor Who.
Ah, really?
Credits. Wow. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of neat. So, yeah, and I forget who came after her. Was that when Rose or not, Amy came in?
No.
Amy Ponce came in with Matt.
I'm looking at them right now. Yeah. Hold on. These are all the companions for all the doctors. Rose Tyler.
Yeah.
Was in 2005, played by Billy Piper. For a while there, the doctor was running around with Mickey Smith, who was Rose Tyler, a friend, if you will. Then another episode, a couple episodes actually, he was running around with Jack Harkness, which was played by John Barrowman.
Yeah,
Captain then Jack. Then Donna Noble, who was played by Catherine Tate. And then Martha Jones. We cannot forget Martha Jones.
Martha Jones was the one that went into the future, right? Or stayed in the future?
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yes. And so she was in 2007. She traveled with the 10th Doctor.
Right.
And then who's played by Freema Eggman? A-G-Y-E-M-A-N. Eggman.
What?
That's what her name is Freema, R-F-R-E-E-M-A-N.
Oh, her name is. I was going to say, I thought you were saying the doctor. I said, what?
No,
David Tennant and Matt.
Then there was a couple episodes in between 2007 and then in the early 2008 series where he was actually with River Song, who eventually, as we found out later,
River Song, that's it. People might remember her from ER days.
Yes, her actress name is Alex Kingston.
Yes.
And then came Amy Pond.
Right, and her boyfriend.
Who was Rory Williams.
Yes, and we won't say the whole storyline behind him, because we're spoiled for Michael.
The current companion, who is Clara Oswald.
Right. And she has a special story behind her, too.
Yes.
Which they haven't totally explained.
They haven't addressed it. They haven't addressed.
Since the new doctor, they haven't addressed it, and they really haven't explained it completely.
Right. How did she go from the thing, from one area to another kind of scenario, where she's at now?
Right.
They touched on it in this latest episode, even the one you haven't seen yet, Barry. They did touch on it a little.
Okay.
A little bit more.
Yeah, I'm hoping they explain it before she, flies the coop, because I think she's supposed to be gone by Christmas. If I remember reading correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So we're
well, I mean, I got a little, as my beautiful bride would say, I got a little sick and tired of the drippy Matt Smith, Clara Oswald crap. The doctor doesn't look at humans as love interests. He looks at them as intelligent pets. A fun little race that he enjoys and he watches over.
Well, I don't know. Michael, Christopher Eccleston and Rose.
Kinda. No shit. And that's the reason why. I mean, it was great to have the doctor back, but you could see it went in that direction. It sucked.
And then David Tennant, definitely with Rose.
Yeah, exactly. So it's so refreshing to see them go back to the Tom Baker doctor.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, oh yeah, humans are fun little things to play with, and they're cute, but they're never ever ever a love interest.
And they went back to it. I think that's why they purposely made the doctor older this time.
I think so. I think it was I think it was a genius move.
Yeah. Now that I see how the direction it's going, everything, I said, this is good. You know, and that's the same. Yeah, you know, I got to say that with all the doctors, the modern day doctors, every time they change it, and you saw the new doctor for the first time, I said, I don't know about this. But you know, I watched the first couple episodes and I say, okay, this is good. This is a different doctor, and I like it. You know, and so, and you know, I still think David Tennant was the best. Christopher Eccleston was but we only saw him for a year, so he might have been better. I definitely like David Tennant. I was not that disappointed about Matt Smith. He brought a whole new idea.
Angle,
if you want to say. And I forget this guy's name.
Peter Capaldi.
Peter Capaldi is, I'm finding, I'm liking this guy.
I like Peter Capaldi an awful lot. That's a doctor. A matter of fact, if he can do as long a run, I mean, David Tennant did the doctor from 2005 to 2010. So he had a 5-year stretch.
Right. Right. And Matt Smith had it for 4 years.
Matt Smith was from 2010 to 2013.
Yeah. 2013, because he switched over for 14. Yeah, they switched.
Right. And then Peter Capaldi's picking it up for 2013 and is still going strong. So if he gets a 5-year run out of this, like David Tennant, then realistically I could see where you know, with his acting skill, how he plays the character, that you know, plays the doctor. Mm-hmm. Honestly, yeah, I could see him easily in contention for replacing David Tennant. You know, if he gets the same amount of time and he grows on you in the same way, you know what I mean? It's worth playing the character.
And they write better stories because, frankly, this year so far.
Yeah, you know what? I was thinking the same thing. That's the stories were a little on the weak side.
Yeah, yeah. So, and they're bringing back the classic enemies or whatever you want to call
villains
them.
Villains. Yeah.
So, I think they need to, you know, introduce some new stuff and
yeah, come up with some fresh ideas or some
he's got a great character. They could do so much with him. But, you know, the guy who's writing all the Doctor Who stuff, I think he's the writer, he might be the producer, I'm not sure. He's also the writer and producer for Sherlock Holmes.
Yes.
So, can you imagine having the two top hit shows and trying to do both of them, and they're both on at the same, both on now at the same season, years? I mean,
that'd be tough.
Yeah. Then
damn near impossible.
Yeah. So, but you know, we'll see. I gotta catch up. I haven't had a chance this week to watch last week's episode, so I will do that. And I guess there's a new episode on tonight. I don't know. I'll have to check the magic antenna later.
Yes, please do.
Because you know what. I'll tell you, I get BBC America, right? Yeah. And I have the DVR records BBC America.
Yep.
I don't watch that one if I don't have to. Because I don't like the commercials interruptions.
Yeah.
You watch Doctor Who, you're supposed to watch it commercial free.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the way it's supposed to flow.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you sit down in the chair, you have yourself a big, tall glass of iced tea or a cold beer or a glass of wine or what have you, a bag of potato chips, and you ain't getting up from that chair until that episode starts to roll its credits.
And you make sure you're not distracted by anything.
Shut up, dog.
As a matter of fact, I will even watch it a couple times sometimes, like when I watch it and I say, oh, wait a minute, okay, I need to rewatch this because something happened there, and I wasn't paying total attention in the beginning, so I need to rewatch that beginning to totally get everything out of this whole episode. So it's the show that just keeps on giving. So okay. So
well, I'm having a blast.
Yeah, and we'll try not to do any spoilers.
No, well, don't worry about it. You know, it's still enjoying the episode. Some of them I had heard some plot lines over time, and I've been also listening to Father Roderick has been doing a podcast about the new series.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah, so I've listened to a couple of episodes worth, and then I said, okay, I'm going to stop here until I have a chance to start catching up with these episodes, and then I'll start listening to them again, but they're having fun with it.
You need to marathon. You need to marathon some seasons.
Well, I'm averaging two shows a day, you know, on my busy schedule right now. I'm doing two episodes a day.
That's pretty impressive. That is good.
So. For Michael, that's very impressive. If he can barely find time to pencil in sleep.
Well, you know, there's the iPhone, there's the iPad, there's the MacBook. I've got two MacBooks, so sometimes during the day when I'm programming, I'll put on one of the older doctors.
All right.
And I'll have that playing in the background.
Cool.
You know, special effects are so bad, you don't really have to pay that close.
Yeah.
The whole set box shook.
Fell off.
Have you ever seen the old,
Well said.
Yeah, the number one, number one enemy in a Dalek.
Darlek.
Darlek.
Daleks?
Daleks. Daleks.
Daleks.
Daleks, yes. Whatever. Do you ever see one of the original ones?
The cardboard box.
It's basically a cardboard box with a plunger, you know, a bathroom plunger.
Yep.
Okay.
And like those little, what do you call them, those foam balls cut in half and glued.
To the base of. To the cardboard.
To the cardboard. That was the original Dalek.
Yeah. And the voice has been about the same throughout. They kept that. Yeah, impressive. So, matter of fact, I saw, Michael, I saw that the old ones were available on Netflix, and I did put them in my list. I've got to get around. I want to watch the old ones, because I've never really watched the old ones. Again, I started with the Tom Baker Doctor Who, too, because that's when it first came over to the United States. He was it, and they didn't play the old ones. So,
right.
So, yes, I want to go back and watch some of the classics. If anything, to get some of the history. You know. So anyway, okay. Well, anybody else got anything?
I'm fresh out.
We don't have any bottom gears this week?
Nope. Not a one.
Well, other than okay, come on, play the music.
Oh, sorry. Wait a minute. I'm on the wrong page. Where the hell did it go? Oh, there it is. Okay, here we go.
Welcome to another Late Night QRM edition of Bottom Gear. I'm one of your hosts, Joel, and tonight Michael is going to fill us in on.
Well, you can't guess it, huh? Oh, okay, I'll go ahead and do it. All right, well, I have a dilemma, and that is my 17-year-old son, who's had his temporary license for almost 2 years now. Boy, things have changed, you know. I'm finding a lot of kids today are like, yeah, I'll get my license whenever. But he's finally decided it's time. And, you know, he's making all his preparations for college and everything. So I've needed to, I mean, he's decided he likes my Jeep. And I'm like, oh, okay. Suppose, you know, it's been good to me. It'll be good to him. So my first instinct is to look for another Jeep. And a good friend of mine had one, and he was looking for something a little more reliable. So he told me that he was, you know, he put it up for sale, and I thought it was gone.
Right.
And I mean, this was like a month ago, 6 weeks ago when he told me. Otherwise, I would have jumped at it then. And yesterday, my beautiful bride and I had to go to town for some more doctor's appointments. And as we're coming back, it was really, really windy. There was a gale warning last night. Ooh. And we decided to drive along the lakeshore to...
because you wanted to be blown over, you know?
Yeah, that, you know.
I'm like, there's a gale warning, so let's ride along the water's edge. What?
Let's catch the tailwind and let it push the truck back home. And
see, we know now, Michael. That's the thing. We know now.
If you want to go faster, you just open the doors. But so we were coming through Eagle River, you know, and just before we get to the bridge, you know, that bridge that you saw.
Uh-huh. Yep.
One of my friend's houses, that the gentleman that I was talking about that had this Jeep for sale, is on the left. And as we're going by it, I see the Jeep sitting out there with a for sale sign on it. And I'm like, whoa! So I turned around at the portal.
Yeah.
Ingress. I turned around at the Lakeshore Drive Bridge portal and went back over to my friend's house. And I got on Hangouts right away and messaged him. I said, hey, I thought you'd already sold this. And he goes, it took a little longer to get it out there than I thought. But it's a 1997 Jeep Wrangler.
Nice.
I'm familiar with it. He wasn't the original owner. He bought it, I think, at $50,000 or $60,000, something like that.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. He did. It's got the four cylinder in it.
Right.
It cracked the head on the four cylinder, which he replaced.
Wow. Right.
And it's your basic SE model. Okay. Uh-huh. So it's a different driving experience compared to my 2001, which was the 60th anniversary edition, which basically was a Sahara edition. It's got everything.
Right.
And but I took it for a drive yesterday, and it's only got 126,000 miles on it. It's really, really tight. Everything, you take your hands off the wheel, you just go straight down the road, which is
no
it's
wobble.
An important thing for me.
It's a plus.
No wobble.
But I had to go back to town again today. Go figure that I'm going back and forth every day. And he just happened to be there to swap some stuff out, and we were talking about it. And I said, "Yeah, it's a little bit different experience than driving my 2001." He goes, yeah, yours is more like the Learjet, and this is like the Cessna. And actually, compared to how austere the inside of an SE is versus my other Jeep, it's kind of about right. It's you're going from a powerful V6 to a four banger, but it really feels solid. It's got a great feel to it. So we've agreed on a price that I think is a darn good price. I went and looked it up online and went, holy cow. And I'll be talking to the bank on Monday.
Wow. Nice.
Oh, good luck.
Yes.
So we're hoping. All of a sudden, he's after I called him, he said it's been out there for a week and nothing. And all of a sudden, I got a whole flood of calls.
really?
I said if somebody shows up with a bunch of cash on your doorstep this weekend, I'd understand. But otherwise, it's sold.
Yeah.
So that's where we're at. I'm just hoping that other people are just going to be a little scared of the age in this Jeep, but they shouldn't be.
Well,
it's got a little bit of rust here and there, but you can just tell by looking at a Jeep whether it's been beat or not. And this one
right. You can tell the ones that have been four wheeling hard in the woods, and then the ones that were cream puffs. And the cream puffs are the ones that you want, the ones that were just used to get back and forth during a snowstorm or to go get groceries.
They went in the woods, but he didn't.
He didn't beat on it.
Yeah. Right. And in other words, it wasn't a woods vehicle.
Right.
Yeah. And that's where I'm going with it. You got your four-wheelers. When you say Jeep, you push it to the very ragged edge of what it was engineered to climb. Right. And those are the ones you want to stay away from because you know it's wore out.
Yep. Yeah. You know? Now, it's got some of the standard Jeep door latch problems, which I'm used to dealing with. The donut at the exhaust manifold is loose. But I mean, these are minor things.
Yeah, they're all fixable.
Yep.
Yeah, cool.
So that's my bottom gear for.
That's awesome. I mean, I hope it really works out. Yeah. Too. I mean, the next time Barry and I, come up and we pull in the driveway and there's a line of Jeeps and diesel trucks parked in the driveway, I'll be like, oh yeah, it's where Michael's.
Well, I guess I'll say one. I do have one token bottom gear report.
Mm-hmm.
Because this past week has been kind of like an Indian summer here.
Yeah.
It was actually up in the 70s. And
it got pretty darn warm.
Yeah, well, the air conditioning doesn't work at all.
It does need the charge.
I mean, it's not pumping out anything. As a matter of fact, we had some rainy days. And, the windows inside were fogging up, and, the defroster wasn't really doing too much.
Yep, that's what I deal with every day.
Yeah.
Every time it rains. It's you put the windows down, and then you have to switch it over to heat a little bit and then make sure the windows are open so you don't roast yourself out of the car.
I was actually driving around with some of the windows down this week. So this is an off Friday coming up, so I have to give our favorite mechanic a call and see if he can fit it in.
I was actually going to go up there today.
Were you?
Yeah, I was talking to him all week long, and look at that steering thing that I already touched on a week ago with Wilson, and then also to pull QRM Jeep out from the back lot. And start tinkering and taking some measurements to cut the seats out and see if we can move them further back so a Jeep becomes drivable. For those over the, somewhat of my girth and length.
that would be cool, though, when you get that going. I think that'll be a fun
problem. Well, we already came to the conclusion that I can't have the solid doors on it. And that's just because of shoulder width.
Right.
I can run. It's the half metal doors with the
doors.
The bikini doors, and then they have the bikini door that has the where you can put the vinyl window from the half the bikini door up. That's probably what I'll end up running with.
Okay.
Because the solid doors, there's just plain old no friggin' shoulder room.
They are pretty narrow inside.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep. So, I could probably get away with it. I'm not quite as broad-shouldered as you are, but I have a problem with the leg length. You might as well just, you know, if I got one of those, you could just probably take the front seat out.
Yeah, you could sit in the back seat and probably still work the clutch.
Yeah. So, you know, but that, yeah. Oh, well. Okay, so that was a good rendition of Bottom Gear. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting tired myself, and we're going close to... getting close to 2 hours here. So we should probably call this, because show 156 went over 3 hours. I don't know whether you guys noticed that or not.
Really?
Yes, it did.
Wow.
It went over 3 hours, and then I don't want to be a no agenda. So we'll try to keep these a little shorter. Musical guest tonight is, insert name of band here. And you notice I've been a little freer on playing music now.
Mm-hmm.
I will continue. Of course, all this stuff is done in pieces and parts, so if somebody comes and complains, even though I put the link to iTunes to buy the song in there, okay, fine. I'll take it out and put another one in.
Right. Yeah.
I can do that. I've got all the pieces and parts. So, anyway, okay. We thank you all for joining us tonight, and we want to thank all those members of the military, both CONUS and OCONUS, and you OCONUS guys. We hope you get back home to your families and friends real soon. And with that, I think we'll say good night for show number 158 from the southwest corner of New Hampshire in the Monadnock region. I did that backwards. Notice that? I'm Barry J.
And from the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Joel.
And from the northeast suburb of Copper Harbor, I'm Michael, the virtual youper.
And Joel, you know, you could say from the Gate City. You know, you could.
Something to think about for next week.
Yeah, the Gate City. Yeah, I thought about that as I was passing Gate City Collision. I said, you're right, Gate City. All right, that's it for show 158. 159 next week. And until then, here's insert name of band here.
Tonight's musical guest is Murray Gold and the BBC National Orchestra of Wales with the theme from Doctor Who.
Samson, speak. Good boy.